Okay, let's see what we've got. What happened to number 1039?
That's you.
How do we get down to 1039? What happened here? Yeah. Did we ask if General and Mary Mason were here, 1039?
I think they settled.
Oh, we didn't. We did skip. We didn't get down that far.
When you asked who was here, the people who were here were
those three.
Ms. McPherson from Ms. McComb, Mr. Rocky, and Mr. and Mrs. Payne, and none of the others were present.
Okay, so let's go through this list. Is
1039?
General and Mary Mason here, 1039? Okay. Any correspondence from them? Mr. Thompson?
What we do have from the Masons to verify that they received information from us is they did sign on to be represented by Sullivan, and we do have a certified mail receipt. We can display it if you need us to.
Okay. All right. How about in 1017, Dustin Mattingly?
I received a note just about half an hour ago. Let me display it.
He settled at the last second.
Sorry.
This note was handed to me by David Dugan 1/2 hour ago.
Okay. Is Mr. Dugan here?
Right here.
Okay.
I know the details of why he didn't show.
Okay.
There was a death, I believe, in the family, and they had just come back from a funeral. And regardless of what the reason was, when I did contact him, he was willing and without prejudice to accept the settlement.
Okay. Now, we don't have a notarized authorization for you
to say that.
To represent him. And so, Mr. Sato, how do you feel about accepting the handwritten note?
Well, I guess, is the handwritten note from?
It's from him, and he signed it.
That's his signature?
That's his signature.
I think for these purposes, we can accept it for the...
Okay. All right. How about then 1020, I think it would be the next one. Julie Miller and Lawrence Klieger. What can you tell me about them?
The Millers, that's Julie Miller and Lawrence Klieger.
Yeah.
They have submitted, I think Lawrence Klieger submitted information for the April hearing. So, and we've been sending all our correspondence to the same address. I don't know if they've submitted comments. I don't believe they submitted comments for this hearing, but Julie Miller, I don't know what her status is or relation is to Klieger, but I think they both live there. She was one of the parties that signed on to be represented by Sullivan in the settlement agreement. So I think that suggests that she's received information from us.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Klieger contacted me and asked that he be heard on Friday instead of Thursday.
Right. That's right, that he was busy on Thursday. I think I saw that email. Hmm. Yeah, this is Friday. Okay. 1016, Steve Mortars.
Yes.
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question?
The next one would be the Mortars, number 1016.
Oh, as far as... We do have certified mail receipts. They have submitted communication to us in the past. I don't know if they've submitted, official evidence for this hearing. There are the folks who I believe are hospitalized right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been involved. They, in fact, came into the office and met with us and tried to talk us out of the CDOs. So they have been in the loop.
Do we have any written correspondence from them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
We'll just take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
appears to be a settlement.
You know, for the board to know, we did get a letter on November 27th, actually received on the 28th from them, stating that they had some health issues, had been in the hospital. It didn't indicate that they were in the hospital at the time. Really, their request was to grant clemency and to remove them totally from the list as an alternative to have a continuance on the hearing date, perhaps sometime in late January or February, is when they would be able to attend a hearing. I had denied the request, within a day or two, and I'll leave it up to the board to decide, you know, whether, obviously with Mr. Rocky, he's going to get another date because he's here. So there is going to be a time to consider any of these other matters that are not finished today.
They asked for a continuance?
They did ask for continuance. I had denied it.
Well, I wouldn't be adverse to allowing them to continue it to when we have this gentleman back.
Okay. Does the rest of the board feel that way?
They have medical problems.
Yeah.
Consideration.
Okay. All right. We got 10:16. In fact, Mr. Rocky, that's what's going to happen here. Yeah. What's the next one? The Moylands are in a different situation. It's not health problems, but they also submitted a request because of Mrs. DeWitt Moylan. Shame on me. Mrs. DeWitt Moylan had a class that she had to take, chose to take, to get certification as part of her training for her job. It's offered, I think, three or four times a year. She had paid $400, I believe, for the class. Mr. Moylan said in his correspondence that he had to accompany her.
To class?
To the class, which is like in Long Beach, I believe. It's not
she
in this
can't
area.
Drive.
So, anyway, and they had asked quite some time ago for the continuance, and I had told them that the board would not rule on that until we got to the hearing. He actually called me and got me on the phone, ex-party, and asked me to please consider the request. And I simply told him at that time I wouldn't make a decision at that point. I later, as we got closer to the hearing, denied the request. But, you know, the board can tell me what they want to do about that. If we want to continue that with Mr. Rockdies and the Mortaras.
I would urge the board to consider continuing their matter as well, in view of the fact that the board would not have been able to get to their proceeding today.
Right.
Anyway, in any event.
Mr. Chair, also, teachers have to continue education for certification for certain types of elements of teaching degrees. And I don't need to talk to Dr. Press that. But with us continuing to change the dates, trying to find a date that was for all of us to meet, how would a person be able to schedule those kind of educational advantages and knowing that they'd be able to attend this or that?
Yeah.
So I would be in consideration of adding them to a future hearing.
Mr. Chair, at the risk of sounding cold-hearted, it's not that this was an event or a class that had to be attended. That's not as compelling to me. What's compelling is that we can't get to it. We're going to lose a quorum. So why not just take all of the cases that we can't get to tonight, our quorum is leaving, and have a panel, continuance to a panel hearing or to a regular or another hearing date, and just handle everything that remains that way.
And are you, my concern is that the folks who asked for a continuance were doing the right thing, and the folks who just didn't show up and didn't bother letting anyone know
But it would be a different matter if we were maintaining a quorum past 6 o'clock, and then we could do what you suggest. We could have handled the ones that had no communication, that had no, that didn't have...
Well, what if they want to show up at that point?
Pardon me?
What if they show up at that point?
Well, then they show up. I mean, I don't see how it...
What I think that does is it sends a message that if you don't show up...
You get a second chance.
You get a second crack
well,
at it.
Okay, but...
Without even going to the trouble of asking
Shawcross,
for
Mr. Shawcross, I'm not sure what future processes we are setting precedent for, since we don't know what future processes are. We don't know if we're going to do this sort of incredibly long hearing for every single one of them, or if there's going to be something else. You know, so I'm not sure that precedent is. It may be an apposite here.
Okay, maybe precedence was wrong. I just think we're sending a bad message, not only in this case, but in future situations where we may be engaged in enforcement or other things. You know, I can hear them saying, well, you let those folks
if you can persuade your colleague to the left to stay to...
I've been trying. Thanks.
May I make a suggestion, members of the board? I think that with the people who have not shown up for their assigned hearing, I would simply call their matters, and then you could just rule on them now. I mean, they have waived the right to a hearing. We've submitted evidence on each and every one of them. Yeah,
the problem is we don't have time now because we have a board member that needs to leave now. We're kind of at the
end. I think it would take 5 minutes.
We could rule on everybody that didn't show up, that did not ask
for a continuance.
That did not ask for a continuance.
Okay.
And I would move that.
Well, we okay. Well,
that we default them.
Okay. Well, we need to continue going down through this list because we haven't done that yet. And so far, what I have is.
Why don't we do it as we're going down the list? Yeah.
Can we do a quick default, Mr. Richards?
That would be a roll call default.
Essentially. I mean, the fact is that this is the time and the place for the hearing. The evidence is in the record. And unless the prosecution is recommending something other than issuance of the cease and desist order for one or more, I think that the prosecution will probably be recommending a single outcome. And I think the board could handle these proceedings summarily.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I have 5 seconds?
No.
Well, go ahead.
We don't have 5 seconds.
Yeah, we really don't.
I'm just wondering if you were to continue everyone, if perhaps after today's proceedings their minds might change, perhaps Mr. Sadel's team might reach more settlements, and it could be a win-win.
I just wanted to ask.
Thank you.
We're losing our quorum, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We just lost
5 seconds. Okay. Hang on 1 second. Yeah.
I make a motion.
Marsha.
That we.
Marsha Robinson, 1028.
She was a late settling discharger. She's agreed to settle.
I got it.
Okay. All right. Mr. Rockte, we have. And then just Randall and Carol Schultz, 1013.
They are settling dischargers as well.
Last one.
Thomas, then. Right? Catherine, Thomas, and Barry Carney, 1045. They settled?
Wilkerson.
Okay. Charles and Norma Wilkerson.
Actually, with respect to Wilkerson, even though they have submitted some information and they're represented by counsel, it's come to my attention that some of our mailings came back returned and were sent to the wrong address. Now, I don't know exactly what mail they have received and what they haven't. So if there will be another hearing, I'd recommend we move them.
Okay.
To the next.
Well, they would have to be, I think, continued in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So what I have pulled out is four cases, 1016, 1015, 1041, and 1008. I believe, then, where there is, Mr. Rockte is here, then the other three have requested something, health or the school issue, and then the problem with the address. Those I would suggest that we take with a subpanel. And we'll set up a subpanel hearing for those sometime in maybe January and or February, but as soon as we can. Now, the others that I guess you want to go by default, go ahead. Which ones are they?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring to your attention that I brought an envelope when we first started the hearings from Wilkerson, and I believe that he indicated that he has illness in the family and people to take care of, and he was willing to settle.
Okay. You know, you might have given me that, but I...
He brought it to my house tonight before the hearing.
Okay. Yeah, because we're going to continue his.
Yes.
I suggest you have him contact Mr. Sato.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Which are the ones that I think you're proceeding by default with?
Yeah, I'm going to go through a list of those that have not settled, that have not showed up today. I'm going to read you the names, and then I'm going to go through the maps really quickly to show you where they're located. It's Dishon.
I don't think we'll need that. I think...
okay, the names are...
The names, and if you can tell us, and the addresses, and if they've received your correspondence.
The first one is order number 1046, Douglas and Paula Dishon. They're at 1755 12th Street. The next one is Jane and Edwin Ingen, proposed CDO order number 1047. They are at 1197 6th Street. The next one is Michael Javine, J-A-V-I-N-E. And he is located at 1411 14th Street. And then the next one I have are Dennis and Sally Joller at 1546 8th Street.
What number is that?
Order number 1004.
J-O-L-L-E-R.
Joller, J-O-L-L-E-R. The next one I have on my list is a redacted name. The order number is 1023. And the address for that property this was a party that also requested their address be redacted from public information, so I'm going to have to display a map briefly.
I think you can tell us if it's in the prohibition zone.
Okay, it's in the prohibition zone. The next party is another redacted information party. Their order number is 1040. They're on Lilac Street, which is in the prohibition zone. The next party is General and Mary Mason, order number 1039. I think you have it noted that Dustin Mattingly is a settling discharger.
Yes.
And then there is Julie Miller and Lawrence Kleiger. And they are order number 1020. And they are located at 312 Mar Vista Drive, which is in the prohibition zone. And, we've continued the Mortaras and the Moylans. Did we also continue the Wilkersons?
And Rockte.
And Rockte, correct.
Yeah, 10,
so the last one I have in this list is, I think, Miller and Kleiger, order number 1020.
And I think for showing up, we should put Mr. Rockte first at the continuation.
And what about 1045? 1045,
They settled.
Okay. All right. So these properties are in the prohibition zone?
Yes.
Okay. Are there people living at these properties?
To our knowledge, yes. There is one that is somewhat unique. It appears to be a business called Ingen Fresh Produce. That would be the property at 1197 6th Street that's owned by Jane and Edwin Ingen.
Okay.
Their mail has been to that address has been forwarded to another address in Los Osos.
Okay.
And we have certified mail receipts that they've received our correspondence.
Okay. All right. Well, is there a motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, yeah. do you want a motion and a vote on each one? Is that how you want how it needs to be done?
It does not need to be done as long as it's very clear that this is the list of proposed cease and desist orders that you are considering, and that
okay, so that should be part of the motion
collectively. Yes.
Yes. That should be part of the motion.
Yes.
All right. So I move that the board adopt CDOs as amended against. Recipient numbers 1046, 1047. There needs to be one for the 14th Street. You didn't name that.
1014.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll start again. I move that the board adopt the amended CDOs against 1046, 1047, 1014, 1004, 1023, 1040. 1039-1020.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes. The second?
Aye.
You got the second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. So, Mr. Hausch, you can go, and then... let's see. Mr. Hayashi, would you be available for a sub-panel?
Send me the date.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because you and I are closest, and then either who's ever available from the north, Dr. Press, Mr. Jeffries, or Mr. Shallcross.
As long as it's not on January 5th, I got a grandchild coming.
Okay.
So.
Well, I've got my calendar right now, and I don't mind trying to pick a date in January. I know Mr. Rockte is here, so he'd have the benefit of we could work with his schedule and do something. If you want to proceed that way, Mr. Sato?
That would be fine.
Okay. Okay.